We're going to rush on. We're going to rush on. So whole life discipleship, that's what we're talking about. And let me just take you through a quick appraisal of why we're talking about this and why this matters. That's the call. That's the purpose of every church on the planet. Make disciples. Notice he said disciples. He didn't say Christians, because that word didn't exist. He didn't say converts. You know, pray a prayer, turn up to church every so often, job done. He didn't say that's what he was looking for. He said, go and make disciples. People who follow me, who believe in me, but also who believe they can be like me. People who believe, do you believe you can be like Jesus? That's a challenge, isn't it? But he believes you can be. He believes you can be like him. So that's the call. I want to tell you about Valerie. Valerie is a hairdresser. She's been a hairdresser for about 20 years. She loves hairdressing. She's very good at it. She doesn't do my hair. She does other people's hair. She's in an Anglican church. Valerie takes her faith to the salon every day. Do you know what Valerie does every day with every customer? She prays for them and she washes their hair. She's washing their hair. And you know what it's like with a hairdresser. You're sharing your life story, aren't you, usually, or what you've seen on telly, or something, or a bit of family news, and people churn out their lives sometimes to hairdressers, and she just prays for them. And it means that she doesn't view herself differently when she's washing someone's hair to when she's in a place like this. She prays for them, and all sorts of things come off the back of that. Conversations, and she tells people she's praying for them, and many of them are deeply appreciative. You know, when we tend to view our ordinary walk around life as different from this, that's the problem. We tend to think what we do out there doesn't matter to God, what we do in here really matters to God. That's not true. God cares about your everyday ordinary walk around life. He cares about that. He cares about it passionately. And he told the people of Israel when they were exiled from their own country, when they'd been dragged off by the Babylonians, when they'd been really had no home, they were in a foreign country, they didn't know how to live anymore. All of their traditions and customs and the temple and everything had been swept away, and all they were in this new country, and they said, how shall we live? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Here's what God said to them. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Find spouses for them so you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. I think that's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do, to work for the prosperity and the peace of our nation. He wants our everyday life to count so much more than we ever imagined. This is from 1647. This was the Westminster Catechism. Anybody read it? Nobody's read it. Okay. 1647, massive thing. It's one of the major creeds of the Christian faith. It's the Westminster Catechism. It says on the top of the list, man's chief end is to glorify God and exalt, enjoy him forever. Now, we think that means we worship God, so we turn up at church and we sing. And that's our worship. That's what our worship means. The Bible never told you that. The Bible never told you that. Valerie, who works in a hairdresser's, doesn't believe that. She believes her work is her worship. She believes that's where she glorifies God and enjoys him. And that's what she does. Here's what the Bible says. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. And for those of you who are thinking, well, that's a relief. I haven't got a job. I don't have to do that. Bad news. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Your worship is your life and what you do at work and what you do in your home and what you do down your high street and in your family. That's your worship. That is a way to glorify God so that people will look at your lives and say, wow. And you'll say, yeah, it's not really me. I couldn't do this in my own power. You know what? I have a friend. And this friend is the one who changed my life. I mean, what does it tell you about what Victoria believes when she... Valerie believes when she's washing hair? What does it tell you about her? What do you believe she believes? She believes in the power of prayer. She believes that her work matters to God. She believes God can work through me. She believes, actually, that the thing that counts is not necessarily having a very scripted version of the, you know, the Roman road, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and you need salvation, and the atonement is... She hasn't got that necessarily nailed down, but she takes her faith, whatever it is, she takes her faith into that place. It's not necessarily, I think William Temple once said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. If necessary, use words, because your life, if it doesn't match the words, will never have any power at all. So we need to live that life and we need to do it. And that, to do that, and what we're going to be talking about, is that we need to change. We need to change how we think. We need to change how we think. Here's a question. How many people is our church in contact with? What do you reckon? Shout out some contacts you think we have. Who do you think we have in terms of contact? How many people are we in contact with? All right, okay. Don't give the game away, right? Let's just see what everybody else... Oh, okay, that's right. Who do you think we're in contact with? 1,200. 1,200. Based on? 20 people each. 20 people each. Where are those 20 people? What are the relationships? Ah, okay. Yeah. And our default, I think most people, when you guys are too shrewd, most people, when you say, how many people are we in contact with, you'll think of, well, how many people does toddlers have, mums and tods, and how many people come in here, and how many people go to this group or that group. You know what? We think like that. That's how many people we're contacted with. When we gather together, that's how many people we're in contact with. The truth is that you're scattered throughout the week and you, our contacts are you and whoever you know. Because you are the church. The church is not a building or an institution or a meeting. It is you. And wherever you are in contact with tons of people every week. The church is the people who are scattered. So those are the contacts, not just who we meet in this building or who we serve through this building, but actually who you know and have any sort of relationship with. And we need to focus on that, I would argue, even more than we need to focus on the other one, which is a challenge because that means changing what we do and how we do it. That is the challenge for us. And we also need to change how we think about church and why we come along. What is our pastoral contract? You don't know it, but you have a pastoral contract. Did you know that? You have a pastoral contract. It is an unspoken contract with me or the organisation that we call church that says you will come if. Everybody's got one. We all have one. I'll what? Well, I'll stay or I'll serve. Or I'll give if you, the church, this organization, this building, this people who gather here, if you, and some often the pastor, if you, and the answer to that pastoral contract for most people, and this is true because the people who leave the church have left for this reason, because the contract's been broken, I will do all those things if you care for me. That is the pastoral contract that is unwritten and unconscious in most of our churches. How missional is that? How many people is that going to reach and save? How is that going to fulfill the purpose of making disciples? Now, I'm not saying that care doesn't matter. It really, really, really matters. Jesus said, you must love each other as I loved you. You must do that. And you must treat each other as I've treated you. But that's all of us. And that's a joint responsibility. Here's a better pastoral contract if you actually want to change the UK. If you want to reach out beyond the walls of this place. Here's a better contract. I will stay. I will serve. I will give if you equip me. If you equip me to be a disciple for Jesus Christ in the world, that feels like that could go places. That's less about me and more about Jesus' mission in this world to save a lost world. Jesus, I don't mind if people care for me or not. I want to serve you, and I want you, the church, to equip me to help other people find him. And I'll pay a cost for that. I'll be willing to sacrifice for that. That is a pastoral contract that will grow churches. I have never yet had a person leave a church on that basis. I'm leaving, Phil, because you haven't equipped me. I have had people leave because they say, yeah, you just didn't care for me. What pastoral contract are you going to adopt as the body of Jesus Christ? Which one will save lost people? Here's the challenge for us. Here's the challenge. Most of our mission strategy, most of our strict mission strategy, it tends to be about this. We focus a lot of our time on about 10 hours of your life. And that's slightly stretching it a little bit. 10 hours of your life is the time that you spend in here or doing church stuff or serving in a ministry that we run. And a lot of our ministries are focused on that, aren't they? They're focused on that 10 hours a week where you might be involved with GBC. They're focused on that particular strategy. And our strategy tends to be, in most churches, how can we get our members to commit some more of their leisure time to the ministry of the church? That's how most churches work. To be honest, we work a bit like that too. What if we focused on the 110 hours that you spend somewhere else? Most of your life is spent somewhere else. What if we focus the ministries and the energy of this church on equipping you and helping you to be a disciple for those 110 hours instead? What would that do to our ministries? How would that change that? How would that change that? It would be a massive change. It would mean focusing on that picture. On you out there with your friends, and we would need to equip you and help you and encourage you as much as we could. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 5 weeks. How can we best do that? Here's a disciple. There you go. And some of you are thinking, well, a disciple is just someone who goes out there and reads, you know, Journey into Life, if you've ever read that, and can quote it and can deliver it very pristinely to somebody cold with no relationship, but you've done the job. That's not what it's about. Being a disciple is about this, modelling godly character, looking like Jesus. It's about, it's gone back a bit. It's about making good work. Doing whatever you do for Jesus. It's about ministering grace and love. It's about molding the culture, changing the way things are done where you live and work. Changing that because you're a believer. It's about a mouthpiece for truth and justice. When you see things that are wrong, having the courage, Jesus' courage, to stand up and say, hang on a minute. And to be a messenger for the gospel through all of that. Yes, to be able to tell people about Jesus, but it's more than just being able to pray the prayer with them. It's about all of that. That's what a disciple does. So we're going to be talking about that. Here's the weeks that we're going to... And next week we're going to talk about Opportunity Knocks, the church in a state. No, the UK in a state. We're going to ask a question about what is the condition of the UK right now? What is the cultural condition of it? And is that... Here's the question. Is that a threat? Or is that an opportunity? So we're going to be doing that. And we want all of you to be engaged with this. So through life groups, we have copies of this. This is LICC's Imagine Project. This is life on the front line. This is how do I be a disciple in my 110 hours out there, wherever I find myself? How do I be that sort of disciple? Now, what we want is for every life group to have done this. It's a six-week course. We want every life group to have done this by September. Okay? There's your challenge. We don't want you to necessarily just cut off what you're doing at the moment, but would you plan in 6 weeks where between now and September, you can talk about whole life discipleship and pray about it? And once you've done that, we have another course that we're going to do later on. We're going to continue this for the next 18 months, 2 years. Another course that we want you to think about how you can help each other on your front lines and be fruitful on those front lines wherever you find yourself. So do pick one of those up. Those will be in the life group box, which is out there, okay? So they'll be as normal out there. There's four copies. Assume that'll be enough for people to share around as you're doing it at different stages. If you need more, let me know. All the materials for leaders and for groups is downloadable free. So you're just going to have to talk to me and I will let you know how you can get hold of those. I'll send you an email or something. You can download them all free, print off as many as you want, and off you go. But that's the DVD resource which will help you. Hopefully, that will encourage you. So here's a question for you to think about. Here's a bit of homework between now and next week. Is the current UK culture an opportunity or a threat? Because sometimes we look out there, it's a dark world. We must gather as the church and gather together and protect ourselves against the evil world out there, brothers and sisters. There is churches that have that basic mission strategy. Or is the world out there more ready than it has been for a long time for the good news about Jesus and what he can do in your life? Are they more ready or less? Okay, so that's what we want you to think about, and that's what we'll be talking about next week. We're talking about our country, and be prepared to join that discussion next week. That's not... There you go. Okay. Lovely. So, hopefully, that will get you thinking, and that will get you praying, and that will get you talking. Hopefully, you'll be thinking about whole life discipleship. Use your life groups to do that as well. And we're going to use that new resource for the purpose of that as well. Bless you, folks. Now, do we want to check on that loaf?
I think, sadly, it's one of those occasions where I don't do these experiments.
Anyway,
the point was...
The point was...
Be the yeast in our society, yeah. In our local society. Get out there, be it. Don't just tuck away in the corner and think everything is going to work out.
Here's the big takeaway. The big takeaway is this: your everyday life matters to God. It matters to God. Take him out there with you. He will be with you whether you take him or not. But take him out there with you. And don't forget that you are the church wherever you are. You are a disciple wherever you are. Your everyday life matters to him. And it will matter to those people too. They need you to be a believer, a disciple where you are. Okay, we're going to close with a song.